Tom and Noel Crow join us once again here on The Morning Blend to provide our weekly American Catholic history lesson as we discover more hidden gems and compelling stories of Catholic Americans who contributed to our great nation by virtue of their faith. And of course, the month of June set aside for the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Today, talking about the founding of Chicago. What does that have to do with the Sacred Heart of Jesus?
This one, no, but we figured, you know, we have a new pope who's an American. He's from Chicago.
Oh. So
in this one, we're going with, because it did happen in June.
So we just recently passed 1 month of our new pope.
Right.
Yes, and okay. The founding date of Chicago is generally considered to be early June. So we thought maybe we'd talk about the founding of Chicago.
Right. Because the individual who's credited as the founder of Chicago was Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah. So the region had been crisscrossed by Catholics since the mid to late 1600s. Jesuit missionaries, Joliet, and a few others had traveled the area a lot. They recognized early on there's a channel that connects the Chicago River basically into the Mississippi watershed, which is a very important route. But that was recognized early on by Joliet and Father Joliet, who was a Jesuit missionary and explorer. But then nothing happened there for a long time. The man who's credited as the founder of Chicago was a man named Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable. He was actually a black freeman. Where he was born is not known. He was either born in Saint-Domingue, which is modern-day Dominican Republic, or in Montreal. We're not sure. We do know he was black. He was never a slave, as far as we know. But by the 1770s, we have records of him because he married a Potawatomi native, and the Potawatomi were a native tribe in that part of the country who had been evangelized by the Jesuits in the 17th and 18th centuries. So they got married, and they did have a Catholic marriage. And then by 1790, Pointe du Sable and his wife and their two children settled at the mouth of the Chicago River, where it flows into Lake Michigan. His establishment there, he was the first permanent non-native resident of the region. So that is why he is considered the founder of Chicago. They established a little farm there. They had a grist mill. They had a tannery. They had a chicken coop. They had everything you would need to have a farm. And other people started settling around the area. But he was only there for 10 years. In 1800, he sold his farm to another family and moved west to the St. Louis area, where he lived the rest of his life at one of his kids' places, and died out there. Exactly where he's buried was lost to history. Yeah, and then the Catholic population of what became Chicago actually grew pretty rapidly. And by 1843, so 43 years after he left the area, it was a significant enough Catholic population to get its own diocese. It was separated off from Vincennes, Indiana, which is now the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. But there you have it. And then eventually Chicago was Catholic enough to produce our first American Pope.
And there you go. And it's the third largest city in the country now.
Yes. It was the second largest before Los Angeles took that mantle. It was second only to New York. I understand it has the highest population of ethnic Poles outside of Warsaw in the world.
Wow.
And the Polish Catholic history of Chicago is fascinating. They have a bunch of huge, beautiful, it's actually called Polish cathedral style, but these huge, beautiful churches, one of which was the original design had the dome being larger than the dome of St. Peter's in Rome, but the archbishop didn't allow them to build it quite that big. But no, it is a tremendously historic Catholic city. And most people don't realize that it was founded by a black Catholic man.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
And so tying it in with our new pope, who is a White Sox fan, but we won't hold that against him.
Poor thing.
Much.
Non-color Sox. Non-color Sox.
Yeah. My Massachusetts native wife.
We know what color she's rooting for.
Yeah.
We've been fascinated by the stories that have come from his family and people that knew him when he was just Father Rob. And
yeah.
The footage that they found of him at the 2005 World Series, I guess that they're actually going to commemorate that somehow. I don't know.
A plaque on the seat or something.
Yeah. So now
they're having a big mass in Chicago at the
New Comiskey Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's this Saturday too, I believe. That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was just, oh, he was always playing priest. You know, it seems like when other kids were out riding their bike or playing baseball or something, he was playing priest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
Well, and there's something nice about, I don't know, there's something nice about the first American Pope. You know, he speaks with a Midwest accent. You know, it's just, he comes from the center of the country, not from one of the edges, not from, you know, Chicago is, of course,
elite or something like
that. Yeah. Chicago is, of course, one of our largest cities and most historic, but it's not, doesn't have the glitz and glamour of LA. It doesn't have that financial power of New York. It's, you know, it's just more, it's more heartland. And he really does have this sort of, you listen to his homilies and you listen to the way he, I heard him, a short clip where he said something about the assembled group. I'm really sorry I'm late. I've only been a month into this new job, so I'm still figuring out how to make things happen here. So just the self-deprecating sort of, he's a very peaceful man, and he has those Chicago roots.
What, if any, experience have you had with Augustinians in the Midwest? You know, even though you guys are next door in a different state, have you come across many other Augustinians?
Actually, no, yeah. I haven't. No.
No. A lot of Franciscans and Dominicans, but not a lot of Augustinians.
A few Benedictines.
Yes, Benedictines. I grew up near and friends with Benedictine monks.
Upper Massachusetts.
In Massachusetts, mm-hmm. But not really Augustinians. And I have to say, I am appreciating learning more about the Augustinian charism and their philosophy, the little tidbits that come from what Pope Leo says. I've been really appreciating that.
Well, and one of the things that, so when I was in seminary, there was a lot of St. Thomas Aquinas. And Thomas, of course, his approach to relationship with God is, I must know God so that I might love him. And then Augustine, this is characterizing things at a very basic level, but Augustine was kind of the other way around. I must love God so that I might know him. Mm. And for somebody like me, who had always been much more intellectual and much more about like, I got to know this, getting that Augustinian sense of, no, let's love the thing first. And then when you love the thing, then you might know it more deeply. So learning more about Augustine and reading his works had a profound impact on me. So, and you know, it does come through in, I think it really does come through in what I've read so far of Pope Leo's homilies and things, just the way he approaches things with such a deep heart of love for what he's addressing.
Yeah. And I have to say, as a Montessorian, I've always said a lot that Maria Montessori was a really good Thomist. She knew that we learn through our senses and we never give more to the mind than we give to the hand. We're body and soul. But listening to Pope Leo as a Montessorian, I really appreciate his emphasis on listening and respect.
Yes.
And being united with other people. And that's the relationships that we foster in our classroom among the children and really encourage them. And so it's this wonderful bridge, I feel, between Thomas and Augustine embodied in our Montessori classroom. So, I'm really enjoying this right now.
Yes.
We were seeing some things on social media we didn't understand. And luckily we knew somebody who was a native of that area and she explained it to us, but the Ope Pope, it's like, what's Ope Pope? It's like, oh, we use Ope out there for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Ope, excuse me. Ope, coming through. Ope.
Yep.
So, that was something we in the Pacific Northwest, we didn't get that inside joke that all you Midwesterners enjoy out there.
So, yeah, Ope isn't used here on the eastern edge of the Midwest quite as much. But I do use it. I do use it from time to time.
I don't.
She doesn't. You know, she's a New Englander.
Right.
I'm a Midwesterner, so... I do use it, not as much as they do in Chicago and Milwaukee and, you know, in Wisconsin, you know, Wisconsin. Places like that. But I say Ope every now and then. The Ope Pope, I caught that one.
Ope, look at the time. I guess we're done. Ope, okay. Look at
see, good usage. Good usage.
Noelle, if people want to learn more about what you guys do, where can they find you?
You can find us at AmericanCatholicHistory.org.